Welcome to WQXR's Arts File Online. It's Friday, August 13th. I'm Carrie Nolan. When you think of the Fringe Festival, you think of a bit of anarchy, maybe, a ragtag collection of musicians, artists, actors, comedians, each pushing the envelope of the art form. The original, and still the biggest, is the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, which began in 1947. Over the years, lots of cities have jumped on the Fringe bandwagon. One of the newest is Fringe NYC, which is celebrating its 14th year and gets underway today. New York Post theater critic Elizabeth Vincentelli's here, and she says that while there is a lot to do, not much of it could be described as edgy or fringy. Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for being here.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. You're not happy with the festival this year. How come?
Well, I mean, of course, it's a little unfair to say that since it hasn't started yet, but let's say that I'm not entirely thrilled with the way it's looking on paper.
There's not a whole lot that's making you sort of champ at the bit.
Not really. I mean, there's a whole lot, but it's just really daunting as to what to pick. There's no names in particular. There's no themes that look interesting. So it's I think a lot of it is going to be word of mouth and kind of keeping an eye out on Facebook and people's recommendation and buzz and things like that.
Most of the other Fringe festivals allow performers to simply apply, and they're chosen either by lottery or by how early the application's received. New York, on the other hand, picks the participants by using a jury-based application process. Now, the Fringe producers say they used innovation, vibrancy, and diversity to choose this year's winning productions. What do you think this process does to the overall tone of the festival, and do you think this year's roster of plays reflects their mission?
I'm not entirely sure what it reflects and if it reflects anything. I mean, the Fringe has become its own entity. It's pretty disconnected from the New York theater scene that happens the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. It's almost like its own thing. It happens once a year every August, and then it goes and it comes back the following year. And some shows have a life after the Fringe, very, very, very few of them. I cannot emphasize enough. I mean, if the Fringe is meant as a kind of showcase to discover potential up-and-coming artists, I'm not sure it's successful at that, because the batting average over the years has been very, very low. If you, by success, you mean a show that would go on to be produced off-Broadway or even on Broadway, that's happened once, and that was Year in Town. Honestly, I'm not entirely sure what their mission is. If their mission is to produce a lot of shows, well, mission accomplished, because showing 197 productions over 2 weeks, I mean, that's pretty impressive. Now, if you want quality, maybe the curating could be a little tighter. They could present less shows and better ones. I mean, it's the old quality-quantity argument going on, and I think they're veering towards quantity.
It's not all bad news, though. There are some plays and performances that have piqued your interest. Can we talk a little about those?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's a couple. There's one called Burning in China that kind of stood out in the program, and that's only because the director is Caleb Deschanel, who's actually not a director by trade. He's a cinematographer and also the father of two pretty famous actresses. And I think it says something about the selection this year that I'm kind of grasping at straws there and thinking, oh, well, that looks interesting. The guy has experience. He should know. So if you trust this writer, maybe I should check out the show. And then another one that piqued my interest was the Hurricane Katrina Comedy Hour, which apparently, actually I've read about in a few places, and the organizers of Fringe every year do a preview where they present excerpts from 8 to 10 shows that are deemed to be some of the better ones. And the Katrina show was the best of the preview. I really thought they had something going there. And you kind of have to fly on blind faith there, because, you know, you base your judgment on a 8-minute excerpt. But I thought that was the most convincing of the bunch that I saw on Tuesday. So that one I'm looking forward to seeing. Then there's a show about the rise of Sarah Palin. It's very topical, and that has potential as well. And then I'm a little interested in a bio play about Judy Holliday called Just in Time.
Thanks so much for being with us, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
New York Post theater critic Elizabeth Vincentelli. And that's today's Arts File Online from Classical 105.9 FM WQXR. I'm Carrie Nolan.